Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Jeremy. Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. There is a very impressive man, Stephen Teep. I always found he had a quiet strength, an inner strength. I don't know where he got it from. So today he's talking about his wife once again, Irene, who he lost. So he doesn't have a wife. Oscar and Noah don't have a mother because of the ineptitude of a system. And he had to fight that system for them to finally admit of their ineptitude and their inadequacies and their inefficiencies. Because as we know now, all of those deaths were avoidable. That of Irene, that of Vicky Phelan, Ruth Morrissey, Emma Vic Bahuna, and the list goes on and on and on. They were all avoidable deaths. And there's Stephen having to go through that over the last 4 years to fight for justice for himself and for Oscar and Noah. And we wish him well, and we wish him happy Christmas. Now, 51551, ray@rte.ie. A final call for nominations for our big Christmas thank you. We're starting it on Monday. We do it every year, and it's one of our favourite things that we do on the programme. We want you to nominate somebody in your life who you feel deserves a big public thank you this Christmas. And it could be a member of your family, it could be a neighbour, it could be a work colleague, it could be a friend. Somebody who has been there for you. I suppose you could call them your rock, the person who supports you through some sort of tragedy in your life. Or it could be more straightforward than that. It could be just somebody who was there forever. As I said the other day, we started this off with a 19-year-old who nominated his mum, and she was a single mother. And he just, when he got to 19, he realised all the sacrifice that she had made for him throughout his short life, and he just wanted to say thank you. And that's where the notion of the big Christmas thank you started. So if you have somebody in your life that fits the bill, tell us as much about that person as you can, ray@rte.ie, and put thank you in the subject line. And the way it works is, come Monday, we'll have one of you on the line, a nominator, and then you will have helped us to get the nominee at the other end of a phone line. We will ring them, surprise them. You will say hello to them. I'll say hello to them. And then we'll read out the email to them. And then we'll give them a lovely bespoke Christmas present by way of thank you. But I found over the years that it's the email is the key piece of this jigsaw, this Christmas jigsaw, because that's what people appreciate the most. The fact that somebody has taken time out to write an email about them. And the present is nice as well, but it's secondary. This year will be the biggest Christmas thank yous yet, and it's all thanks to our friends in Supervalue. They're helping to share the magic of Christmas with great value, quality Irish festive fare for any Christmas occasion. We couldn't do without them. And ray@rte.ie and put thank you in the subject line, and we could be talking to you and your nominated person for the big Christmas thank you next week. It's the 8th of December. Hey! The importance of the 8th of December has waned over the years. There was a time when buses and trains and cars and bicycles would be only heading in one direction, and that was to Dublin. It was the Culchie's day out, and we loved it. And we came up in our hundreds of thousands and shopped till we dropped, and then headed back down with bags from all sorts of places, like Cleary's when it was open, and Arnott's and Brown Thomas and Switzer's and all sorts of places. But of course, you can get everything and everywhere now, and you can buy it online, so it's not as big a day. But it is still traditionally the day that people, a lot of people, put up their Christmas decorations. With that in mind, we have Laura De Barra on after 4 o'clock. She's the gaff goddess, and she's just so brilliant with the tips. Just, you go, ah, yeah, that makes complete sense. Oh, yeah, how did you think of that? So she'll be telling us how to get the home ready for Christmas, and I suppose things to do before you put up the decorations if you haven't put them up already, and how to make room in the fridge for all the extra food you'll have, and all sorts of things like that. So yeah, Laura De Barra after 4 o'clock, ray@rte.ie if you have any specific questions for Laura De Barra. Nathan Carter is live in studio. He's going to be singing a couple of songs and telling us what he's up to for the Christmas. Looking forward to that. And it landed today, probably the most highly anticipated documentary ever in the history of the world ever. Meghan and Harry, or is it Harry and Meghan? can't remember in which order they come, but it landed on Netflix this morning. And Jenny Bond, former BBC royal correspondent, has watched all three installments of the documentary, docu-series, whatever you call it. And she's going to give us her reaction to it, and she's going to give us her opinion on how the royal family will react to the documentary, and we're going to be talking to her very shortly. Speaking of the BBC, this is a real Anchorman thing. You know, Will Ferrell played Anchorman and his name was Ron Burgundy, and the joke was that whatever was on the autocue he would read. So he was sort of a robotic type thing. So here's an example of Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy in Anchorman.
You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy?
Damn it! Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?
They call it teleprompter, we call it autocue. But somebody had put a question mark after his name, and that's why he went, Ron Burgundy? Anyway, Tina Dehealy, BBC newsreader, she forgot her own name, or at least she was just reading the autocue. Have a listen.
BBC News at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, the 7th of December. Good morning, this is Lisa Costello. This is Tina Dehealy, having a Ron Burgundy moment there. The Trump organiser.
Yeah, you have to hear that again. She said it with such confidence.
BBC News at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, the 7th of December. Good morning, this is Lisa Costello. This is Tina Dehealy, having a Ron Burgundy moment there. The Trump organisation.
Oh, yeah. The brain and a live microphone and a camera and autocue. Strange things can happen. Christmas in the Castle, that's us tomorrow. It's also a TV programme that's happening on Christmas Eve. Jack Lukeman and Shobzy performed the John Lennon Yoko Ono Christmas classic Happy Christmas, the War is Over for it. You will see it in all its glory on Christmas Eve, but they've sort of, just to tease you, and by way of promo for the programme, they've released it on the RTE website. So it's the two lads with the RTE Concert Orchestra, the DCU Chamber Choir, Gloria, which is the LGBT plus choir, and the Donny Carney Ukrainian Community Choir. Donny Carney, why doesn't that sound odd? Anyway, and it's all in support of the Ireland for Ukraine campaign, and just, they do a great job at it. Brilliant job.
So this is Christmas, we can fall strong, the rich and the poor one. For black and for white, for yellow and red ones, stop the fire.
Lovely version of a lovely song. Come on, all together, here we go. Jackel and Shobzy and the various choirs, the RTE Concert Orchestra. You'll be able to see that on the telly on Christmas Eve. They don't know what time yet. And by coincidence, it's 42 years since John Lennon was assassinated in New York back in 1980. I see the Irish Film Institute have announced their five most popular Irish films of 2022. And they're showing them or re-showing them between December 27th and the 5th of January. And in no particular order, Rosha August Frank, which we talked about. It's a lovely story of a woman who's a bit lonely and a dog. Nothing Compares is in there. Belfast is there. I thought that was 2021, but there you go. The Banshees of Inisherin, as you would expect, and as you would expect on Colleen Kuhn. It was a good year for Irish cinema. Wasn't it a good year for Irish cinema? 51551 ray at rte.ie. What else is there? Paul Howard is tweeting, as he often does. He says, I'm going to shock you now. Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Tree is a better Christmas song than Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Well, music's very much a matter of opinion, Paul. I was never a big fan of Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. I just never got it. I just didn't. And Kelly Clarkson's Under the Tree, I could take it or leave it, Under the Tree. We were asking the other day, when was the last time a classic Christmas song was written? And there were various people saying Brian Kennedy's Christmas Morning, which Brian will sing for us live tomorrow from Dublin Castle. Really looking forward to that. And we've loads of guests tomorrow. I'm really looking forward to it. And there's an audience and it'd be very Christmassy. So if you're looking for something to to kickstart your Christmas, tomorrow's is make an appointment with us at 3 o'clock from there till 4:30 because it's all festive tomorrow. But anyway, Johnny Doohan sent me an email. Now, Johnny Doohan is the man who wrote The Voyage, which is the Christy Moore song. Well, it's a Johnny Doohan song sang by Christy Moore. Christy Moore made it famous. And he sent us in a song called Your Sure Hand. And he wrote it about his, at the time, 17-year-old daughter, Niamh. And it's particularly, I suppose, topical today because it's about unwrapping and getting out the bulbs, the little twinkly Christmas lights for the Christmas tree and trying to unwrap them and all the wires and everything that goes with it. It was Niamh who used to do it in their house. And that's where the title comes from, Your Sure Hand. Well, Niamh is 17 no more. After a number of career changes, Johnny says she recently graduated as a midwife from UCG and is now walking the wards. And her 17-year-old daughter, Katie, is on the precipice of her Leaving Cert exam, in need of a reminder of her sure brain. So it's the next generation. There's a lovely song. I don't know how I missed it back in the day, but it's Johnny Doohan, Your Sure Hand, and perfect for the day that's in it as people go up into the attic and out into the shed to get those Christmas decorations to put them up and festoon the living room and wherever else. And that's dedicated to everybody who's unravelling fairy lights today and tonight and in the coming days. Good luck with that. Lovely little post from Wicklow Libraries. They posted a note on Facebook and Instagram and it was from a person who uses their facilities on a regular basis, and little did they know the sanctuary they had provided for this person, because people use libraries for seeking out information, a quiet space, and I suppose we rarely think about it as a safe space. And this is the little note that they got. I felt safe every time I walked through the door to your library. I could breathe and collect myself and access support online. I want you to know that the difference this space has made to my future and my daughter's future. Thank you, a domestic abuse survivor. Isn't that lovely? And I suppose patrons rarely reveal their personal crisis. But it went on to say, the longer you work in the public service, the quicker you recognise the difference between casual and more intense questions. Your antennae go up and you know instinctively that this person's need for answers is more critical and you do your best to offer support. This note received in one of our libraries was particularly poignant in that it told the story of frequent visits to one of our libraries and the practical and emotional support received. It left us with no words because this woman was so grateful for the little things we did. Isn't that lovely? Yeah, on letters, we were watching it last night. We didn't watch it live. We were watching the penalty shootout between Morocco and Spain. And you do like to see the minnows, win. And that's I suppose, Morocco were minnows enough. And they beat Spain, who would have been favourites. And the hero of the piece was their goalkeeper called Bono. So letters to the Irish Times today. Sir Bono stands tall in Morocco goal as they eliminate Spain from the World Cup. Is there no end to his talents? And Moroccan goalkeeper Bono gave his team the edge, hey, over Spain. That's Tom Gilson from Beaumont in Dublin. And the other one was Michael Keegan. just when you thought you couldn't get any more of Bono, there he is playing for Morocco. That's great. There's loads of confectionery conspiracy and controversies this time of the year. Elon Musk is on Twitter and she's going, I'm no conspiracy theorist, but why is the chocolate in roses different? And the majority of people who responded to Emer's tweet say it's soy milk. So it's not cow milk, it's soy milk. We put a call into, it is Cadbury's, isn't it? Yeah, Cadbury's Roses. And we're waiting for a response to answer Emer's question definitively. Why do the roses taste differently? Is it because of soy milk or some other reason? So we'll let you know. Oh, that's Emer McLeister, is it? Oh, yeah, that's Emer McLeister there who's asking that question. So we'll find the answer for you. Now, we're looking for two of you to answer questions after 4 o'clock in our Reel in the Ears quiz. Three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize, a two-night stay for two people in one of the iNua Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels. The Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, Tullamore Court Hotel, the Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Something for everyone to enjoy, from overnight getaways and spa treatments to elegant afternoon tea or a delicious meal in one of the many restaurants across the iNua Collection, inua.ie. On this Thursday afternoon, here is your qualifying question. Which royal couple featuring the new Netflix series that everyone's talking about today? Which royal couple featuring the new Netflix series that everyone's talking about today? 0818715925. 0818715925. Good luck with that.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, at 8 o'clock this morning, the eagerly anticipated docuseries surrounding the Duke and Duchess of Sussex was finally released on Netflix, titled Harry and Meghan. We got three episodes today, and another three will drop, as they say, or land on December 15th. So what has the initial reaction been like? Joining me now on the line is former BBC Royal Correspondent Jenny Bond. How are you doing, Jenny?
I'm all right, thank you. Having sort of lost 3 hours of my life this morning watching it.
But you had to.
I did.
Did you lose sleep?
No, but do you know what? I found it a bit underwhelming in the end. They'd released two really explosive trailers, which suggested that there was going to be an all-out war on the royal family. And in the end, what we had mostly was a very charming, it has to be said, love story of how they met and he was late on the first date and how they went to Africa and the rest of it, shot through with a boiling resentment against the press and all forms of media, suggestions and accusations of racism in society at general and within the royal family.
Yeah. So in episode two, we hear from Meghan's mum for the first time, Doria.
We do, and it's nice to hear her voice. She didn't actually add much. She was very careful and guarded, I think, about what she said. But she explained, as we knew, that she had been stalked, as she put it, certainly followed by the press. The confusion throughout is between paparazzi and legitimate British press.
Yes.
And they seem to tar us all with the same brush. And that's really quite insulting. In fact, Harry goes out of his way to insult royal correspondents and suggests that they are simply a PR corps of the royal family, extended PR corps.
So that'd be you, Jenny Bond.
That would be me. And I know, and the palace have often taken issue with what I've said and not like me at all.
Yeah, we'll come back to the production values and all that, but it was announced in October 2016. They've been going out that summer. I think they met first in July. They met through Instagram. He saw a picture of her on Instagram with one of those dog filters on, and he said, "Who is this?" So that, I don't know what
Shall
that
I
says.
Shall I hum some romantic music for you?
Yeah. That's the thing. Because we were looking at, there's this lovely version of Anything Goes playing in the background. It's by a lady called Helen Merrill, and it's sort of a jazzy thing, and it's like scenes from a rom com or something, isn't it? Like that's what it felt like to me. And he's at pains to point out that it's a wonderful love story, and like you can't help but sort of like them, or am I just been suckered?
No, I think it is a charming love story. And look, I'm really, really sorry that they felt that so unhappy in this life and this world over here that they left. And I'm sorry that she felt that her race had something to do with it. I'm sorry that Harry feels that, as he puts it, the level of hate is a strong word, against his wife and his son. He says that with real bitterness. But we haven't actually had really any evidence of hate, certainly against his son. And there is confusion not only between paparazzi and official press, if you like, but also between the press and social media. Though Harry says, you know, a lot of the criticism and hatred is now online, and that is absolutely true. But, I mean, that is not the fault of the royal family. It really is not.
Yeah. So a lot of it is shot on their cameras, so it's in sort of portrait as opposed to landscape. So you have a lot of black there either side of the shot, and one of the first scenes we see is Harry in the airport leaving the UK, and this is what he says.
Hi, so we're here on Wednesday, the something of March. We've just finished our 2 weeks, our final push, our last stint of Royal Engagements. It's really hard to look back on it now and go, what on earth happened? Like, how did we end up here?
With the piano player beside me. No, sorry. Yeah, and I know it was their lives. I shouldn't be so flippant. But the question that Megan asks herself, or the interviewer asks her, is why? Why are they doing this series of documentaries?
Yeah, and that's been my question throughout. And beyond the fact that $100 million speaks quite loudly, yes. I suppose, which is their Netflix contract, I don't know why they're doing it. Rather ironically, in part of the documentary that I've seen so far, she says that she did everything she could, and I'm sure she did, to fit in, to blend in. She even wore neutral clothes. She didn't want to stand out or... you know, take prominence over other member of the royal family. But rather ironically, she said, I didn't want to do anything to embarrass the family. Well, I'm afraid, you know, she really has done that ever since with her with Oprah Winfrey and now with this.
Yeah, and you, like the documentary and Harry are drawing, you know, they're comparing Meghan to his mother, Princess Diana, over and over again.
Yep, there's a lot in the first episode. There's a huge amount about Diana. Harry says that I am my mother's son. And yes. By that, I think he means that he's led by his heart rather more than his head. And he's proud of that. And he talks about the way that she was targeted by the press and the paparazzi. And that is absolutely true. And I witnessed it very much. But Meghan was never pursued in the same way, which is why in their trailers they had to use, or they did use, completely false pictures in one instance of Katie Price, the glamour model, being the paparazzi who surrounded her. They were,
yes, there was controversy over that. Yeah
Yes,
oftentimes the trailers are made by people other than the documentary makers. That, you know, and that's,
it's still sloppy. It is sloppy.
I was just looking at the credits and there's Foley artists credited. I've never seen that in a documentary before. You know what a Foley artist is? They're the people who sort of...
No, I don't.
No, yeah. So, say, for example, you know, you have somebody walking through the snow, but you don't have the sound. So a Foley artist will get a piece of paper and go...
Ah, you see? Oh, my goodness.
So I just found that intriguing. But just that thing, they probably know their audience. And a lot of their audience will be fascinated by the photos and footage and the stories that they've never heard before about their love story, their dating and all of that, won't they?
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting if you're interested. And we did learn a lot more about that. We learned also, one of the things I thought was interesting is that we learned that when Harry dressed up as a Nazi to go to a fancy dress party some years ago, he says it was the worst mistake of his life, one of the worst mistakes of his life. And he then afterwards went to see the chief rabbi in London and went and met a survivor of the Holocaust in Berlin. That was all to talk about his own unconscious bias and the way he includes himself in. And I do respect this, that we all have to look at ourselves and be aware of how we talk and how we act. And there is room for improvement in society in general and within the royal family, I'm sure.
Because they made accusations during the Oprah interview about racism within the royal family. Is that addressed in the first three?
Not yet, no. Not that specific allegation that someone, an unnamed person, and Harry said to Oprah he would never reveal who it was, had questioned or talked about the skin tone of their unborn child. Well, actually, this apparently, according to Harry, this remark was made even before they got married, so there was no unborn child at that stage. But no, it hasn't been addressed yet. I think it would be helpful, actually, if they did come forward and say exactly what they mean in that.
They refer to each other as H and M and has, and it's all very lovey, 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 isn't it? And this is, as soon as we've mentioned the first date, we've just played in this 20-second clip. This is from the first of six, and there are three available on Netflix, as in from today.
You were late.
I was panicking, I was freaking out. I was like sweating.
And I didn't know him. So I was like, oh, is this what he does? got it. Like, this I'm not doing. I'm not
gonna sit. What was that supposed to mean?
Like one of the guys who's so much of an ego that you're not gonna, that you don't, that any girl would sit around and wait for a half hour for you. And I was just not interested in that.
All very slaggable, but touching all the same. And as I say, they know who their fans are. They know who want to watch this. And the rest of us will just watch it as well because we're sort of intrigued, I think. Can you remember when it was announced that they were a couple back in October of 2016? And how did you feel? Because you had been observing the royal family for quite some time at that stage.
Well, I think I felt just like the rest of the press and the public, and which is that she was exactly what a modern monarchy needed. An independent woman, divorced, and an actor, but that's by the by, but dual heritage, exactly what the monarchy needed. And she was fated as that. And I think there is a confusion running through these first three episodes that they keep saying that she was hated and she was criticised and she was vilified. And yet it's shot through with the scenes of her given a fantastic welcome by the crowds wherever she went. And by them saying themselves that the royal family couldn't have been more welcoming, that Catherine and William were really great, and that she went to Sandringham for Christmas, which is unheard of if you're not married. She was invited to Sandringham. She said it was just one big family. It's what I always wanted. It was such fun. So
They're confused.
Like, we are confused.
Yes, yeah. Well, like even today, the Daily Mail are giving out that she wears white all the time. You know, that's ridiculous and bullying, and you know, and then the social media on top of all that. So they're confused about what was going on there. In general, the British public welcomed her with open arms, as I think did the royal family. But for some reason, she got on the wrong side of some of the media.
Yeah, so an answer to that question that Harry posed. How did it come to this? What happened?
There you go.
And I'm hoping by the end of six episodes, we might find out.
Will you watch the final three when they come on December 15th? You'll have to.
I will. Yes. I'll probably be talking to you again.
You will. Jenny Bond, for the moment, thank you very much. Thank you. Bye now. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
They're doing it for the grubby money, says Dan, and they left for privacy and now they're revealing all their personal details. Basically, it's now become their means of making money. What cynical hypocrites. This is a meta universe, says that person. Not many fans of Harry and Meghan out there today. December is a time for giving, and for many, the exchanging of gifts will be on the cards. But what if you could give the gift of friendship this Christmas? Joining me now in studio are friends Alan Purcell and Kevin Mann, who met through Alone, an amazing organisation providing support to older people at home. Good afternoon, Kevin. How are you?
Hello, Ray.
Thanks for coming in. How are you doing, Alan?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah. How do you feel about doing this, Kevin? Are you...
Not nervous, but I feel sometimes, you know, it could be very dry, you know, talking about your circumstances and boring people with details of the difficulties in your life. You know, you can find that.
Well, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. Yeah, yeah. So, talk to me about how you met Alan, the circumstances around it.
Well, I ended up in hospital in the ICU, and the matter, believe it or not, I found myself on the floor of my apartment and I couldn't get up. And I was kind of lying there for 2 days. But eventually I was rescued by Dublin Fire Brigade, believe it or not. They had to break in and rescue me. And I was taken to the ICU and the matter, and I was there for a while, and then I was referred to St. Mary's Hospital, and they picked up on me that I was living on my own, and they referred me to Alone, and that's how I came into contact with Alone, through a welfare officer in St. Mary's Hospital.
And have you always lived on your own?
Yes, I've been a bit of a loner, yes.
Right.
I've kind of... I always say I'm isolated, but I'm not lonely. I've always been happy in my own company.
Because there is a difference, isn't there?
There is a difference, yeah. Being isolated is a practical thing. You lose out on certain amenities in life, if you like. But, you know, I'm never lonely. I'm never...
was that something
fed up with my own company?
Yeah, was that something you knew about yourself from early on?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always wanted to be alone.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't want to live with anyone. Couldn't live with anyone.
It's interesting. But then I suppose the fact that you're, you know, isolated, not connected, on the floor for 2 days, that's a scary thing, isn't it?
It was a scary thing. And what was particularly annoying about it was that I couldn't get to the phone. I had a landline and I wasn't able to go that far to get to the phone. And my mobile wasn't working.
It wasn't working.
I'd run out of money or whatever.
Yes, yeah, credit.
Yeah.
When I came down and I met you and Alan today, he was showing you something on your mobile phone. That's his part of his expertise.
Alan is my guru on all things electronic and modern.
So you are part of an alone, I don't know what to call it, a scheme?
Befriending.
Befriending, yes. Yeah. And what's the range between yourself and Kevin?
Age-wise?
No,
arrangements. It was structured pre-COVID, and COVID obviously disrupted everything, especially when Kevin was told to cocoon, and we had an arrangement where we would have met at a set time and date each week in Kevin's apartment. That came to an end, and then it changed to suddenly he was allowed back out into the environment after cocooning, and it became coffees in the park, walks around the local park, and it's evolved now into a ad hoc relationship. It's not like a service that I'll be down on Thursday at 6 o'clock. It's pick up the phone. Hey, are you around for a coffee? Let's go and have a chat.
So, but it has to be structured initially, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it wasn't a given that GT were going to get on.
No. And I suppose the very first time we met, I left thinking, I don't know if this is going to go much further. You might have felt the same, Kevin.
No.
it wasn't on either of our sides that it felt that way. I just thought there was an icebreaker. Obviously, you know, there's a generational gap between the pair of us, and maybe we both came out of that thinking, what's this all about? And then slowly but surely, it just evolved into a friendship.
What is it all about?
It's just about two people having a chat and going for a stroll, a coffee, or whatever that takes our fancy in that particular week. Which is pretty good.
What's the age gap?
40 years? I'm 35.
I'm 75.
Okay. There you go.
Good maths. Well, yeah, it doesn't come across like that. And I've had, we were walking around one day and a friend of mine texted me saying he went by in a bus and texted saying, who's that old guy you're strolling around with? And it doesn't feel like that anymore. Maybe at the start it would have, but now it's Kevin. We're meeting up, we're having a coffee and we're having a chat.
Yeah, I see it. I think it's voluntary service of the highest caliber that someone would bother even to. Alan's been doing it now for 4 years, and I'm not a demonstrative person, but he knows how much I appreciate him coming, and I'd hate if he wasn't coming now. So and it develops, maybe, I don't know, it's up to him to say, I think it develops into more than just service. It develops into something else.
He said that already, a friendship. Were you reluctant at the outset, Kevin, because of the man you are? You strike me as an independent person.
Yeah, I would have been reluctant to, because you sort of have to give away a little of yourself to make any kind of a relationship work, no matter how remote at the time. I came to appreciate Alan very much.
Mm. That's interesting what you say, that because you do have to let the sort of whatever, the barriers down. You have to become a little bit vulnerable, don't you, to let somebody in if it's going to work.
You are, and there's no one more insecure than I am.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, you wonder, you know, you're boring the pants. I have a tendency to reminisce about what happened 40 years ago, which I think is interesting. But you wonder, are people only listening to you because they're being polite, or are they bored to tears with you, you know?
No, I find it fascinating because in my, let's say my school or my college crew, I wouldn't have access to that level of information or experience. So I find it pretty interesting and fascinating to hear from someone who's been there and done that. Even on the way over here today, you were telling me about marching down to the US Embassy to protest against the Vietnam War.
Worn out here. Bloody imperialism out. American imperialism out,
I
was less isolated in those days.
To hear about those things from someone who's been through it and lived through it is interesting.
Has it given you a confidence? Did you need to get confidence back after the fall?
No, I wouldn't say I didn't need confidence, no. Either psychologically or confidence towards my physical well-being. No.
No, you're fine. Okay. So this is the thing that Alone do, and it's made a difference to you, Kevin.
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. And you get a lot from it as well.
Yeah, and Kevin often refers to it as a service. I don't see it that way, but I suppose it is nice to give back. The reason I got involved with it is just that I had time on my hands back in 2018. I wanted to give some time and volunteer rather than, you know, just throwing €50 to a charity and feeling like I've done something. So it just happened that Alone kind of caught my eye. I realised we all grow old, so maybe it's a pay it forward situation or something along those lines, and it just materialised into, as I say, a friendship, not a service.
And your circumstances have changed since you started.
Yeah, I've had a first child. There's a second one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. And my daughter has been to visit Kevin, unbeknownst to her, I'd say. And yeah, you know, Kevin has said he's
not
alone.
Mention the dog.
And the dog. Yeah. The dog's been down plenty of times. And yeah, Kevin's probably not used to that circumstance or situation, but he's kindly babysat for 2 minutes while I've nipped off to the loo in a coffee shop or whatever, which has been great. And yeah, it's just multi-generational again.
What about Christmas, Kevin?
Well, this year will be slightly different because every other year I used to go to my brother in Swords for Christmas dinner, but it's he's not in a position. He used to come in for me and bring me out, so he's not in a position to do that this year. So I'll probably be on my own Christmas Day, but I'll go out New Year's. Right. When the buses are back in operation,
okay,
I can go out and see him on the buses. So I'm not really worried about Christmas. I've never had any fear about living on my own. That's not the problem. It's the isolation,
yes,
the practical difficulties that isolation leads to.
Well, with all the technology we have now, you shouldn't be that isolated, you know.
Well, technology and I, we don't hold.
Well, there's your gateway to technology sitting beside you there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you can't function now without your mobile. I order stuff on the internet. And,
great. Thanks so much for coming in, lads.
No worries.
And I can see by the body language that you're friends, you know, which is nice. Alone, if you go to Alone, if you're interested in what we've been describing there, you go to the Alone website and there's information on it there. Thanks, Alan. Thanks, Kevin. Thank you very much. Happy Christmas.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The new Concise English-Irish Dictionary, the first of its kind in over 60 years. Mura Clorco I'm sure Habir Lagaiga, your comprehensive guide to contemporary Irish. Give a folklore this Christmas and share the gem that is our language. Available now in all good bookshops or buy online with folklore.ie.
Tribefest Temple Bar is back from January the 25th. 80 concerts featuring Moréadni Bhuinnig, Mary Chapin Carpenter, Judy Collins, Dervish, Eddie Reader, Cara Dillon, Keela, Matt Malloy, Sean Keen, Emer Quinn, Danny Larkin, Frankie Gavin and more. See tribefesttemplebar.com.
RTE supporting the arts.
Supporting artists.
Supporting us.
At Centra this week, choose from our amazing mega deals, like selected Cabernet and Toblerone pouches, 340 to 357 gram, any 2 for €8. Centra Fresh Hours Chicken Fillets, 454 gram, only €5.50. And until Sunday, Bailey's Liqueur 70cl, only €10. Celebrate Christmas, choose Centra. Centra, live every day. Enjoy Call Sensibly.
This December in Wexford and Dublin, the magic of Christmas. A concert of seasonal and concert favourites with Claudia Boyle, the National Symphony Orchestra, conductor David Brophy, and special guests, including acclaimed actor Stephen Ray, reading Another Night Before Christmas. Wednesday, December 21st, the National Opera House. Thursday, 22nd, and Friday, 23rd, the National Concert Hall. See nationaloperahouse.ie and nch.ie.
It's almost 4 o'clock on RTE Radio 1. Someone in your community is coming home to a cold house tonight. St. Vincent de Paul's Collection Week, now on.
Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Nathan Carter. That would help if I put up the fader. Nathan Carter, good afternoon. Good to see you.
Need a hand there?
JP looks like he needs a hand. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in. The last time I met you, you were on your way to Garth Brooks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How many times did you go?
I was meant to go once and I ended up going 4 nights out of 5, would you believe?
Did you learn anything?
I did, learned an awful lot. Yeah.
What is it about him?
The stage presence is unbelievable, you know. And for a man that's, I don't know what age is he?
60. Is he 60?
No, no.
I think he is he?
Like, he could definitely outrun me all day long, running from one side of the stage to the other, jumping up and down, off drum rises, everything. He was incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it never happened because you were in and you were hinting, or I was hinting. Anyway, there was some sort of thing going on that maybe you would support him in Crow Park.
Yeah, we got a bit of a wink and a nod that we might have got a gig or two, you know, but it didn't end up happening. But
nobody supported him. So
nobody in the end, yeah. And I went the second night for 4 nights consecutively.
Right.
He did one weekend, then he did the next, didn't he? But I was mad to see Trisha, the wife.
Yes.
And because I've always loved her singing. And I got to see her one of the 4 nights, and she'd done a bigger set, I think, on the first night or something.
So. Oh, had she?
Because so I completely missed her.
They sang Shallow together.
They did, yeah.
And then the night I was there, they did this mad tribute to Queen.
Yeah, that was the final night, wasn't it?
Yeah,
the finale.
It was like for some TV special or something.
It was
like
epic. I think it's been recorded for Netflix.
Is it? Yeah,
it's going to be a Netflix show.
Yeah.
So
he grafted and grafted and grafted before he, you know, hit the big time, didn't he?
He did. He did. Yeah. But he just got amazing songs. You know, the caliber of songwriters that were sending him stuff at that time was amazing. You know, and just.
And why was that? Because he wasn't that big.
I guess it was his publisher. Who's his manager. What are they called? I was going to say Big Tom. It's not Big Tom. It's Big Cat or Big something. I don't know.
So
but his publishers are amazing.
Yes.
And obviously, Garth has written a lot of songs as well, but some of them big hits, The River and If Tomorrow Never Comes and all that stuff was, you know.
Bob Doyle is his name, they're telling me.
Bob Doyle is exactly
the name.
There you go.
That's thanks, yeah. Grace. Thank you for that. She's on. JP, you're sorted now, are you? You were fiddling with your wires there.
We're all plugged in.
You're all plugged in, ready to go. Okay, so you're going to, if we have time, you're going to sing two songs, but at least one. The Morning After is out tomorrow. It's the new album.
Brand new album, yeah.
Yeah. The single of the same name has been out, and there's a video for that. And you were in bed with Philomena Begley. You have to see it to understand what's going on there.
Yeah.
She's a great sport, isn't she?
She is. I decided to record this video for the song, and we needed someone to basically be a taxi driver who was of a more mature age than myself. And I end up the next morning waking up not knowing where I am and realise that I'm actually in bed with Philomena Begley.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was great fun. The camera guy would count down 3, 2, 1, action, and Philly would be there stroking my leg or pinching me bum under the quilt, you know, and she's just a great character. Right. And a massive amount of fun to
You've
be around.
Piqued their interest now. That's The Morning After, the video. The single's out, people know that, and the album is out tomorrow, and you're in the INEC in
Killarney,
December 30th,
yeah.
Wexford Opera House January 6th, and then on to April. The 14th of April, you're in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre in Dublin.
Yeah.
And by that stage, people know all the songs from the new album, which is great. Christmas stuff, we've probably only time for one song here. We'll see what we can do at the other end of it. But which one do you want to go
with? We'll do Christmas stuff, yeah.
Christmas stuff, yeah. Great.
I won't be singing it in January anyway, so I might as well sing it now.
There's a small window of opportunity. So this
is a little song that I wrote with a great guy who's no longer with us called Ralph Murphy and John Farry. And we wrote this in Dublin about 6 years ago. And I'm hoping Michael Bublé might hear it one day and record it. Then I can retire.
Okay.
So that's the plan.
Christmas stuff, Nathan Carter.
1, 2, 3. I wanna do Christmas stuff just like we used to do when we were all little kids and Santa brought toys for me and you. I wanna believe that just believing's enough to make every dream come true. I wanna do Christmas stuff with you. Wanna build a snowman, find a tree and hang some lights. Wanna get some mistletoe, make a Christmas Eve every night. I wanna buy you a present or 3 or 4, hang some holly on your door. See a little snow on the ground just to make it right. Yeah, I wanna do Christmas stuff just like we used to do when we were all little kids and Santa brought toys for me and you. I want to believe that just believing's enough to make every dream come true. I want to do Christmas stuff with you. Out at Grandma's house, hear a little story or two. I want to sit by the fire like it was all brand new. I want to buy you a present or three or four. Hang some holly on your door. See a little snow on the ground just to make it right. Yeah, I want to do Christmas stuff just like we used to do when we were all little kids and Santa brought toys for me and you. I want to believe that just believing's enough to make every dream come true. I want to do Christmas stuff with you. Maybe if we put cookies out of milk, you'll never know. We just might hear someone say, ho, come on, Ray, ho, ho. I want to do Christmas stuff just like we used to do when we were all little kids and Santa brought toys for me and you. I want to believe that just believing's enough to make every dream come true. I want to do Christmas stuff with you. Yeah, I want to do Christmas stuff with you. Yeah, I want to do Christmas stuff with you.
Nice. Christmas stuff to be featured on Michael Bublé's next Christmas album.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We can retire. What's the Christmas stuff? What are you doing this year?
This year we've a load of gigs. We're just mad busy.
Are you going home?
I'm going back to Liverpool with my younger brother Jake. We're going to see my family. There's 15 of us coming for dinner. My granddad was 89 last month, so we're going to see him rather than him coming all the way up to us. So, right. Yeah, it's going to be nice. Great to see all the family.
Great. Now we have a minute. Do you want to play a minute of a tune or what? Do you,
a minute of a tune. Go
is
for
he.
Wagon Wheel. We'll do a chorus.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Can we do a Christmas version of Wagon Wheel? Rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel. Rock me, mama, any way you feel. Hey, hey, mama, rock me. Yes, oh, rock me, mama, like the wind and the rain. Rock me, mama, like a southbound train. Hey, hey, mama, rock me. Oh, the chorus. So rock me, mama, like a wagon wheel.
Dedicate this to Denise. Denise, say hello to Denise.
Hello, Denise.
Yes.
Hey, mama, rock
me. You better say happy Christmas to all your fans from all over the country.
Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yay.
Hope you all have a lovely Christmas.
Neve and Una there. They want to see you. Say hi to them.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for writing in.
Can't wait to see Nathan. Nathan's band, Kjol, and Claudia Buckley perform in early January in Wexford Opera House. So it's a full lineup there. And Denise says, please wish Nathan a happy Christmas for me. Received his new album in the post this morning.
Oh.
Have already played it and love every song on it. And you can you say hi to Nathan and JP from Nicole? Thank you very much. So
thank you very much, yeah. Everyone, for writing in. Yeah, new album out tomorrow, so thanks very much for...
The morning after.
Having us in, Ray.
Yeah, thanks. Ever. Yeah, it's great to see you. Thanks, Nathan. JP, thank you. Happy Christmas and enjoy your Christmas in Liverpool. And then it's the INEC, December 30th, Wexford Opera House, January 6th. And I believe you were involved in Cole. We'll get the story from them tomorrow.
Yeah, the lads are in tomorrow, yes.
We'll
so
get the story from them.
They're in.
Okay. Yeah. Nish Tosha now in the Preepskelton in Oakdale, Marion Nihulawan. Gormagad, Marion. Thank you very much. 51551 ray at rte.ie. Just a reminder that tomorrow we're broadcasting live from Dublin Castle. It's our Christmas at the Castle show. And you'll be guaranteed Christmas songs and a bit of crack and some surprises. So tune in 3 o'clock to 4:30 tomorrow. RT Radio 1. Now it's time for our quiz. Don't know what that is for. Anyway, we've two quizzers standing by to answer three questions each and a prize, which is a two-night stay for two people in one of the Ainua Collection's gorgeous four-star hotels. They're all over the country. Hibernian Hotel in Kilkenny, Tullamore Court Hotel, Hillgrove Hotel in Monaghan, the Fairways in Dundalk, and any one of the Radisson Blue Hotels in Athlone, Cork, Limerick and Sligo. Ainua.ie, I-N-U-A.ie. There is something for everyone, and there are vouchers available on that website as well if you want to get the perfect Christmas gift. Hello, Babette.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. You're Babette Connolly, is it?
That's correct, yeah.
In Kilkenny.
Yeah.
Newmarket in Kilkenny. I didn't know there was a Newmarket in Kilkenny.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Whereabouts are you close to?
Noctofa.
Oh, yes, I know where you are now. Yes, yes, yeah.
Yeah, and you would have come to Stonyford a few years ago.
I did.
On the roadcasters for Operation Transformation.
Yes.
And I met you there, actually,
yes,
in the community centre.
That was lovely. It was just before COVID hit. We had a lovely day down there.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And I remember driving back up and people said, we should do this more often. We should get out and about and around the country. And then, gone, shut down. So we'll have to get back up and going again. You sound like you're from a different country.
Yes, I'm German originally.
Aha. How long are you here?
Oh, 22 plus years.
Okay. And why did you...
I'm here since the end of 1999.
And why did you come here?
Ah, horses brought me to Ireland.
And why
changing career.
And why'd you stay? Horses as well?
Horses as well. Just fell in love with the country, got married here, had a son, and grew roots, basically.
Ah, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. In tiny Newmarket near Stonyford in County Kilkenny. What age is your son now?
He's 18.
Right, okay.
In leaving cert year. So yeah. Very exciting.
Well, that's one way of describing it. And is he a worrier or what sort of a student is he?
No, he's quite relaxed.
Yes.
Thankfully, he's taken up lots of sports recently to make up for the demands of that school places on him.
But that's hugely important.
I think he's getting the work-life balance right.
Yes, yeah. I think that's hugely important because a lot of people give up sports when it comes to exams and they should do the opposite, which is great. So he has the right idea. Okay, you're up against Andrew Brown from Killorgan in Kerry. How are you doing, Andrew?
Great, how's it going?
Not too bad. Say hello to Babette there.
Babette, how are you?
How are you, Ray? I'm fine, thank you.
Andrew, I'm Ray.
Good.
He's Andrew.
Oh, my apologies, Andrew.
No, it's confusing.
I'm dreading his name, so my apologies.
You're all right, Babette. You won't be the first one to forget my name.
Right, now, will you stop, Andrew? You're a Kerry man through and through?
I am, Kerry man through and through, yeah. I'm originally from a small village called Brosna out in North Kerry.
Ah, yeah, I know Brosna, yeah. I do. Brosna is near to where? How would I know it now?
It's nearer to Abbey Field. We're about seven miles from Abbey Field and we're about 10 miles down from Castle Island.
Yes, so if you were going the back way, say if I was leaving Ardfert and going the back way up to Limerick, you'd probably go near Brosna, would you?
You would maybe, but you'd be on the main road. You'd have to come off the main road. It's only about 4 miles up the main road there from a place called Fieldsbridge. Fieldsbridge.
You'd see a signpost for it. Is what I'm saying.
You would. There's a signpost for it, all right,
How are you on Christmas, Andrew? Are you looking forward to it? Does it bother you or what?
Well, looking forward to it, all right. I might be working, all right, but sure, look, that has to be done as well, you know. We can celebrate afterwards. But, once we get the old bit of talking Christmas evening, in the evening, Christmas Day, we'll be all right, I suppose.
I saw a headline yesterday saying, I don't know what the obsession is with Turkey. This wasn't the headline now, but it was sort of it. I don't know what the obsession is with Turkey because it's not very nice. I was thinking to myself, because I suppose the main reason we have Turkey is because a chicken would be too small for a lot of the people. You know, you need a bigger bird, if you like.
Yeah. Anyway, we get fed, it's okay.
You're fine with that. Will you be doing the feeding or will somebody else be feeding you?
Oh, my partner, Agnes. Agnes, my partner. Yeah, she's a great cook there. Yeah, I'd just like to say hello to them there. Herself and Luke are out there shopping today.
You've done that. Brilliant. Hello to Agnes and Luke. Three questions each, Andrew and Babette. If you go for a long clip, you get a point. If you go for a shorter clip, it's more difficult, so you get 2 points. Whoever has the most points at the end is the winner. If it's drawn points, we go to a tiebreak question. Good luck, and here we go. Now, Babette, to you first. The year is 1993. You were still in Germany in 1993.
I was in the UK. But
you're in the UK. Sorry. Okay. There you go. I was presuming. Presuming there. Okay. We're starting on the television. Do you want a long clip or a short clip?
Oh, a long, please.
A long clip. Okay. This was a big sci-fi hit, a drama show from the US starring Scott Bakula, about a time traveller. A time traveller, I should say. Can you name the show? Here's your long clip.
Theorising that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the accelerator and vanished. He awoke to find himself trapped in the past, facing mirror images that were not his own,
and driven by an unknown force to change history for the better.
No.
I have to be completely honest, I haven't a clue.
Not a clue.
Not a clue.
Okay, no. I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you. Quantum Leap. No.
No.
No. Okay.
I can't say.
Yeah,
no.
That's what we're looking for. Quantum Leap.
Sorry.
Okay. No, don't apologize, Andrew. Television from 1993. What are you going to do?
I'll go short, Ray.
Short. Okay. Kelsey Grammer played a radio psychiatrist in Seattle. Can you name the TV show? It was first aired in 1993. Short clip.
What are you still doing with that? I thought you were going to return it.
They wouldn't take it back. All I got was some attitude and a cheap glass of wine. Loire Valley, my ass.
Well,
would it be Sleepless in Seattle?
No, that was a movie. No. We were looking for Frasier. It was a spin-off of Cheers, which was in the news recently because of the death of Kirstie Alley.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so
right.
Frasier. Okay, right. So no points on the board. We go to Babette for her second question. It's on music from 1993. Babette, do you want to go long or short?
Long again, please.
Long again, okay. Can you name this singer-songwriter from Hicksville, New York, or the song? It was a hit in 1993. I'm in search of something, taken out of my soul, something I can never lose, something somebody stole. Well, who's that?
I know the song. Well, I can't place it. It's not Bob Dylan, I know that.
No, you're right, it's not Bob Dylan.
No.
By a process of elimination. It's not Jimi Hendrix. It's not the Beatles, it's not the Rolling Stones. It's Billy Joel. Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Okay.
Billy Joel.
Yes,
yeah. Okay, I recognised the voice, but I just couldn't place it.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Andrew, you knew that one, but that's no use to you because you have to answer your own questions. That's the way it works.
I know.
So music from 1993, do you want a long one or a short one?
I'll go short again, Ray.
Short again. This was a big hit for a Swedish group in 1993. Can you name them or the song? When she woke up late in the morning light and the
day had just begun. Ace of Base.
Is correct. All That She Wants, 2 points for you. Right.
Well done, Andrew.
So we've points on the board, Babette. That puts you under a fair bit of pressure. You've one question left. An opportunity to get 2 points if you go for a short clip. And then you can hope that Andrew falters on his final question. So what are you going to do? News and current affairs, do you want to go short?
Yeah, go on.
Go on. Okay. This actor won a Golden Globe for his role in the film Scent of a Woman in 1993. Can you name him? Here's your short clip.
You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old.
Who's that?
No.
No.
Sorry. Just no good.
Hoo-ha! No. Al Pacino. Scent of a Woman.
Al Pacino. Okay, I wouldn't have recognised that.
You wouldn't recognise that. Okay.
No.
I tell you what, Babette, it was lovely talking to you. We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show Keep Cup, which will be handy
around the
place when you're dealing. And great to talk to you. Happy Christmas to you and Liam and everybody else down there.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye now.
Thank
bye. Bye. Andrew, well done. Andrew,
I didn't think I'd get one right today because there was tough questions there during the week, but tis great. I know the old song in here, so
yes,
that's great.
That's it. And you probably would have got the fine one. We'll never know. But anyway, you did enough to win. Iknewa.ie, it's a two-night stay for two people. And you can go to that website, iknewa.ie, to see what's in store for you, Andrew. Okay,
brilliant.
Lovely talking to you, Andrew. Happy Christmas. See you. Bye. Bye, 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 bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 ray@rte.ie. Liam has been on from Nace. He says Dublin wasn't the only place which saw an influx of shoppers on the 8th of December. It happened in many local towns. I recall as a child, says Liam, being brought to see the bright lights of Newbridge in the 1960s. A big attraction was that Newbridge had a panto at the time. Oh no, it didn't. Rare enough in an Irish town, the legendary Jimmy Dunne was the music maestro. The best of fun, says Liam and Nace. Nice memories, Liam. Jonah Louie, Stop the Cavalry. No. Now, Christmas brings a bit of pressure to have our homes sparkling and inviting for guests. So who better to give us a steer on how best to prepare the house for Christmas than our gaff goddess herself, Laura De Barra, who joins us now.
Hi.
Hi, from a studio in London. Are you a real or a fake?
Oh, real all the way.
Are you? Right.
Of course. Well, with fake trees, I think it's more sustainable if you get the right kind of real tree. And also I live in a flat, so like trying to store a fake tree where I could store much more pairs of shoes, I'd rather do that.
Well, the only thing about being in a flat or an apartment, you can get all different sizes of fake ones, you know, to suit mm-hmm. your situation. The other thing is, we were looking for a definitive answer on which is best for the environment, a fake or a real. And we had the QI elves on. They're the people who write questions for QI on the BBC. Mm-hmm. And in their book this year, they say that you would have to have a fake tree for 20 years before it would become better for the environment than a real tree. So there you go. You can take that away with you now. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have ours for 15 because we're it's not a fake tree, it's an artificial tree. It's an artificial tree.
Oh, you're almost there, so five more years.
Yes, 5 more years. Okay, so how do you pick a tree? Because that's what a lot of people are going to be doing this weekend. Do you go for a certain type of tree or what do you do?
Let's get into things that people just don't bother telling us.
Right.
And they're the things that I always find most interesting anyway. Before you go, you've got to think of a couple of things. You, the person that's going to be living with this thing for like 4 to 5 weeks. So if somebody has a lot of allergies in your home or is quite sensitive to smells, you want to go for something that isn't as intense a smell. Anything that's pine in the name will be less intense of a smell than fir. And if you go for something like Nordman, which is, and you can even ask when you go to the Christmas tree place, like they'll tell you which ones. Their Nordman fir is really popular because it's glossy, it's full, but because it's got such a thick coating which makes it glossy, it means that it's less intense of a smell. But then if you wanted to go for something that has a really strong Christmassy smell, you'd go for like a noble fir. And then there's also this one called a lodgepole pine, which I love because it looks like it's got little fingers like pointing up, like all these elegant hands on it, but it suits higher ceilings and if you have loads of decorations. So you want to make sure you're going for the right kind of tree. I personally wouldn't go for a tree that's wrapped up. They should wrap it up before you take it away. And then when you're there, you want to look like you know what you're doing. So run your hands along one of the branches as if you're kind of running your fingers through your long luscious hair.
Right.
And then you shouldn't have needles coming away in your hand, and you shouldn't be spotting any brown ones. That means the tree is dried out. The whole thing with keeping a tree lasting is making sure that she just stays nourished. So if you then get the tree and just give it a bump off the ground, if a lot of needles fall out, she's after drying out and she's not going to last more than a couple of weeks. So you want to make sure that only a few kind of needles will fall when you bump it off the ground. You don't need to go like whacking it off the ground.
Yeah, how will the man who's selling you the tree, how will he feel about that, or the woman?
I find just like a nice stare into the eyes as you do it to them will not get them asking you any questions.
Okay.
You'll be grand. You look like you know what you're doing.
Okay.
It's kind of like the kicking the tyres when you're buying a car kind of a thing.
Fine. Okay. You can say that to them as well. Say the lady on the radio said it. That'll work, won't it? Because then they're blaming you.
Say Gaff Goddess told me. They won't question.
There you go.
They won't
question. So a little tap, and if a lot of needles fall off, that's not a good sign.
No, like one or two might, because there'll be ones on the inside that'll have dried out anyway. But if you see, like you'll actually see people doing it and a lot of needles will fall onto the floor, you just don't want to go for those.
Mm.
And then you've got to think about when you get it into your home. If you're not going to decorate it straight away, put it into a bucket of water. It's kind of like when you bring home expensive, fresh cut flowers. You want to make sure that you cut the ends. If you don't have a saw at home, get them to cut it where you buy it.
Right.
What happens when you cut a tree is it makes this kind of coating as it dries out, so that then it can't drink enough water through the end of the trunk. So you want to make sure that you recut that. About 3 centimetres usually will do it. Some people do it at an angle because it gives more surface area to drink from, but it's not great in a lot of holders. And then every day, around 500 mils, which is like 2 large glasses of wine, think about it that way, is how much you'll need to top up the water to every day. Don't worry about overfilling the water when you've got the tree in it. It can drink like 2 or 3 litres.
Okay. And people suggest 7-Up and all sorts of various
things.
Don't
do
it. No.
Like, I would tell you to put vinegar anywhere. Don't bother putting vinegar into the tree. They
no
say
vinegar.
Sugar,
right.
Vinegar. You don't. It's just fresh, clean water, topped up daily. Even if you want to filter it through your Brita jug, like that's stunning as well. But don't bother putting anything else into it, because what you can risk is sealing the end of the tree and then it can't drink the water. And you also want to spritz it. Just get a nice little spritzer and then once a day spritz the tree to keep those needles nice and moist.
Yeah, just be careful if you have electrical bulbs on it.
Yeah, we'll go for an LED battery power this year to keep the price down. And also, if you use an LED bulb, you won't create enough heat to dry out the needles anyway.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure it's like away from a radiator or turn down the radiator near it. It's all about like keeping this tree.
Most electrical lights are LEDs now and they don't generate a lot of heat. Are you a single colour type of person or is it multicoloured?
For me, I don't even do a tree. I do a foliage display on a dresser in my house.
Of course you do, yes.
It's in decor galore. It's because we go back home for Christmas, so I usually just like to have something that's there for the month that's nice and festive. But I do a clear bulb. But I think if you like coloured bulbs, go for it. Yes, whatever makes you feel good at Christmas.
Okay. Now, I mentioned that there'll be visitors coming around. And of course, we have more stuff around the place, more stuff in the fridge, more stuff in the presses. So what do you suggest people do to ready the kitchen for the Christmas?
So I always am in the camp that thinks people remember the atmosphere. They don't necessarily remember how clean your house was or how much was there or things like that. So I think whatever helps you move through Christmas easier is best. And what I find works for me is I'll get a box in each room and just put things into it that I'm not going to use till after Christmas and just put it away in place of where I take out the Christmas decorations. So just swap things that are out for December, things that are away for December, and you'll find it'll give you a bit more breathing room. If you've guests coming to stay, for example, like some people suggest staying in the guest bed for one night to see what they'll need. I wouldn't go that far. I would just move things off surfaces in the bathroom and in the room they're staying in just to kind of free up a bit of space. And if you're going to be giving a deep clean to your house or your kitchen, a natural, non-toxic cleaner, bicarb vinegar water, stunning. You'll be able to clean down every surface and whiz through it without covering the room in the scent of like really strong chemicals. I'd also suggest, when you're clearing out cupboards, because you're going to be filling them up, anything non-perishables that you're not going to be using over Christmas, put them up to the hard to reach out of the way places and bring everything you'll need over Christmas, bigger plates and things you'll be using, down to eye level and easy to access places, just so you can kind of glide through. Everyone's stressed at Christmas. Everybody's on one deadline altogether. It's a busy time of year.
I've never heard it put like that before, but you're right. We're all on the same
deadline.
We're all on the same deadline.
Yeah. It all ends on the same day.
Yes.
And we do it every year. So we should make it more of an art to relax and look after ourselves. And I also think, like, if you get into the habit of kind of reducing what's in your fridge the week before you go shopping, make a list of what you need and then shop from your cupboards first, because there'll be stuff in there that you don't realize you already have. Then stick the shopping list onto the inside of a cupboard door and add to it throughout a week. That way you'll remember everything, and then it'll also mean you'll start making space for it throughout the week as well.
Yeah, and it's better to look at the fridge now and next week rather than at the last minute when you have the shopping on the kitchen counter and you're looking for space. It's better to have it cleared out before that, isn't it?
Definitely, because the more packed your fridge is, the colder it needs to be, and then you don't want to end up making it too cold. You want to just make sure that you're downsizing beforehand. So even if that means like batch cooking and freezing what's in there if you can't use it right now, but it's all about like not overloading, because that just leads to food waste long term, you know.
And people are doing the deep cleans, aren't they, because you know their sons and daughters and various people coming home, and probably some of them won't have been home for the last 3 years, so it's a deep clean. Tracy's probably doing this. Says, I wonder if you would ask Laura for advice in cleaning rust from a chrome bathroom radiator. It's very bad. I haven't been successful in finding a cleaning product that would work and would really love to deal with this in advance of Christmas, says Tracy.
Wait, you are not going to guess what I'm going to tell her to do.
Vinegar.
So,
is there vinegar?
Yes, vinegar. I mean, the Queen Bee. I'm obsessed that was asked. So that will be able to eat, because it's acidic, into the rust and take it off. If you find it's still on, like a small little bit left, you can just make a face mask out of bicarb and rub it onto it. That should take it right off. And then warm water and vinegar on a cloth, like a microfiber, weekly when you're cleaning your radiators down or towel radiators, will keep that rust at bay.
So you're not responsible for cooking the Christmas dinner then, are you?
No, actually, I haven't been able to go home the past 2 years, so this is my first Christmas.
Brilliant.
So I can't wait. I really can't wait. And my mum's listening, actually.
And you're married since that as well. So.
I know, yeah. It'll be my first married Christmas, and I can't wait. Like, my mum's a really good cook, so like I think we'll have a stunning day. It'll be great.
Well, no pressure now. Mrs. De Barra.
She's grand. She's well used to it. She'll be iconic as always.
And is there one, before we let you go, is there one tip that you've got from her over the years? You've been watching her cooking the turkey. Is there anything that she does that you want to pass on to her listeners before we let you go?
I think what we always do on Christmas morning is we talk to through the courses together so that we have everything. So we're like, right, okay, we're going to be making this, this, this and this. And then we group all of the things that it's going to be served into. So we have it on the counter ready to go. Because you know when you're like, yes, oh my God, I've got to take this out. Where's the serving dish for that?
So say it out loud. Say it out loud.
Yeah, yes. And talk to each other about it. Well, that'll need serving spoons, that'll need this, that'll need that. And then you have everything out and ready to be like plated up.
So
when
simple,
it's coming
but
out.
So brilliant, as always. Laura DeBarra, great talking to you. Enjoy your Christmas. Thanks so much.
You
and
too.
We'll talk to you next year. Okay, that's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock, live from Dublin Castle. We'll talk to you then. Have a nice Thursday evening. There you go.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.